Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, Episode 42. On this edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, I have a lot of video game news to share with you, including information on The Force Unleashed, a brand new Punisher video game, Spore, Grand Theft Auto, an update on Jack Thompson. I also have reviews of the two-disc edition of Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, Burn After Reading, and Spaceballs, the animated series. And finally, I share one final tribute to the Adventurers Club. If you wish to email me, please email me at silverwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And now, let's rock and roll. Hello and Kungaloosh to all my pack members out there. Welcome to another edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. I am Silver Wolf, and, well, this week's a very special episode because, well, I'm recording this on the day that's going to live in infamy in the world of Walt Disney World, Disney fandom, and, you know, pretty much everything that's Disney, because tonight is the last night of Pleasure Island. You heard me right. Pleasure Island is closing tonight as of this recording. And I ranted on this so many times, and you probably all know which one of these clubs I'm very, very sad to let go. And that is the Adventures Club. I'm really upset that it's going to be leaving us. So this week, I'm gonna be throwing some, you know, some Adventures Club stuff all over this podcast, and giving one final tribute to the Adventures Club, because, as I mentioned, there's no other place like this, and I am really, really upset that it's gonna be leaving, and, you know, as soon as this place closes, and next time I make a trip, this place is going to feel empty now. Because one of the best things to have in Walt Disney World is going to be leaving. I mean, it's not just it's going to feel like they're going to close down an entire park, like almost like a theme park of some sorts. This is like, to me, this is like the first time Disney has ever closed a theme park. But, you know, I'm just rambling on about this. It's just I'm really upset about the whole thing. And even though every night the Adventures Club raises $2,000 and plus the donation of two raccoon pellets, which the club president Amelia Perkins has generally donated, due to inside a petting zoo. I'm talking a little too much here. Anyway, let's move on to the video game news here, because there's actually a few very interesting stories here. First off, The Force Unleashed, which was released not too long ago, that has recently sold 1.5 million copies its first week, despite all the current mixed reviews about it. And, you know, I'm still planning on getting it. I haven't really gotten it yet, but, you know, I am planning to get it, and, you know, I'm hopefully going to enjoy it, but I don't know. So, I'm just going to hold off on it for now. I'm probably going to get it later. So, but still, I'm really happy that, you know, hey, The Force Unleashed getting 1.5 million copies, being overhyped as hell, and, you know, all that stuff. So, I'm really happy for that. Also, Fable 2, which is, of course, the sequel to the Fable video game, where it's an RPG where you get to roam around, do whatever you want, and, the ending of the game depends on what you do. Well, it's got a sequel, and it's now gold. It's right now in production. Well, it's been in production, and right now it's gone gold, and it's going to be released on October 21st. And there's going to be a standard edition of the game, plus a collector's edition for $80 that's going to include a bonus disc that's going to... It's like a documentary of the making of the game. A figurine of the Hob character in the game. It'll also include an in-game extra dungeon and cutlass, a trial of Xbox Live Gold, and 5 printed Fate cards. I don't know what that all means, but, you know, it's a collector's edition, and I haven't played Fable, so, but, you know, it'll be a really interesting pickup. Also, Zen Studios has made an announcement that they are currently developing a Punisher first-person shooter exclusively for the PlayStation Network, and it's going to be called The Punisher Warzone. And what's going to be really cool about this game is that it's going to use the Unreal Engine 3, and it's also going to include characters like Jigsaw, Silver Sable, Bushwhacker, and Barracuda. This is going to be the first time that Zen Studios is going to be releasing a first-person shooter. And, you know, so far the screenshots look great in the game. And there hasn't been a release date announced, but is a possibility that this game will be released sometime in December to coincide and to, you know, tag along with the release of the upcoming Punisher film, the Punisher sequel, which is going to include both The Punisher and Jigsaw. Also next up, Spore, which I'll be reviewing in the next couple weeks. That game has sold 1 million copies its first week, and so far over 25 million creatures have been created, and I can guarantee you most of them are created to look just like certain parts of a body that I do not want to describe. But anyway, it sells 1 million copies despite that this game is also being illegally downloaded, and EA is also being sued due to its to these major DRM issues that Spore currently has. Let me explain about this a little bit. DRM meaning digital rights management. Somehow EA stuck a program onto it that actually calculates how many times a game has been installed, like how many times a game has been installed on certain computers. And when this game was first released, the big problem with this game is its DRM issues. This also means that if you install Spore on your computer, the thing is with Spore, you can only install it on 3 computers. There's actually now a patch where EA's upgraded it to 5 computers, but the thing is, people are really ticked off that you can only download this game on 3 computers, which, like I said, it irritates a lot of people, especially if you have, like, you know, multiple computers, or you plan to upgrade your computer, or if you, you know, format your hard drive every so often and you need to reinstall everything. This has become a problem. And right now, because of this, people gave Amazon.com 1-star reviews for the game. People are illegally downloading this because once it's installed on your computer, it stays on your computer. So that's one thing. And there's just so many different issues on this, and it's really become bothersome for everybody. So there's a lot of people that are, you know, complaining about it, and even I'm a little ticked off because, you know, it's our game. Why does it need DRM? Why does it need this? Come on. But anyway, next up, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for the DS. That was announced at E3 not too long ago, and some people were kind of getting a little nervous that this game's gonna be rated T for teen, which is something that, you know, a lot of Grand Theft Auto fans are not really big fans of because, well, they are very used to Grand Theft Auto receiving an M rating. Well, Rockstar has announced that the Chinatown Wars will get an M rating. It will have everything that Grand Theft Auto fans like. It's going to take place in Liberty City, and as a bonus, This game is also going to have certain mini games that's going to use the stylus, including, you know, drug dealing and all sorts of other, you know, fun stuff in order to expand your empire. And there was an interview with Rockstar also brought up the point that if they're making a Grand Theft Auto for Nintendo DS, will they make one for Wii? Well, Rockstar has pretty much said that they're not really thinking of one just yet. GameSpot has reported that, you know, the guys at Rockstar are saying that they're not really, you know, they're not really thinking of Wii as a good console for Grand Theft Auto due to its popularity, and, you know, they just want to stay away from that for now. Finally, this is really, really big news, especially for those who just don't like people that, you know, cry and complain about violence in video games. Well, score one for us, because Florida lawyer Jack Thompson is now permanently disbarred from Florida law. This means he is done. He is done. He is not a lawyer anymore. He is finished. He still has 30 days for a retrial, but I doubt that's going to happen. I mean, there has been talks about this for a while. There has been plans to permanently disbar this guy, you know, due to his wild and crazy accusations and his book and all this stuff. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it, and now it has officially happened. So, well, I'm just really happy about it. In fact, I'm so happy about it, I think I'll sing a song that I learned from the Colonel from the Adventurers Club. But first, let me warm up a little bit. Me, re, 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 do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, with which I buy my beer. Re, the guy I buy beer from. Me, the guy I buy beer for. Fa, the distance to the store. So, I'll think I'll have a beer. La. La, 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 la. T, no thanks, I'll have a beer. Which just brings us back to Do. Now sing it. Do, with which I buy my beer. Ray, the guy I buy beer from. Me, the guy I buy beer for. Fa, the distance to the store. So, I'll think I'll have a beer. La. La, 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 la. T, no thanks, I'll have a beer. Which just brings us back to Do. I need more Do. Oh, man, good times. Good times. Anyway, with that, let's move on to the reviews for the week. First off, Burn After Reading. Starring George Clooney, Francis McDormand, John Malkovich, Tilda Swinton, and Brad Pitt. And it's directed by the Coen brothers. Now, first off, I can't really describe this movie too much, but I'll try to describe it as best as I can. It's about a guy who's married to this one woman who's actually cheating on this one guy with another guy who's married to this other woman. And also, this guy that's married to this woman is also cheating on another is also cheating with another girl, who goes to work with these two guys, and they both work at a gym. And this one guy that's married to that one woman is married to this other guy who's also married, is, you know, lost some sort of disc with some sort of data on it, and this woman that's cheating with this guy that's cheating with this that's cheating on his wife, and her coworkers somehow find this disc, and they decide to blackmail this one guy that's married to this other girl, that's married to this girl who's cheating on him, and they also try to blackmail a bunch of Russians, all of which they don't know what's on this disc, and well. It's just so much stuff happens, and I cannot really describe because it. I just threw myself off. I just threw myself off because this whole movie is just one big cluster muck. That's all what this is, and it's funny. It's really funny, especially when George Clooney's character, who's the guy that's married to this woman, but this guy is also cheating on these other two women, one that's co-workers with two other characters, and one that's married to this other guy that lost the disc. Anyway, they're all being seen by the CIA, which, you know, they're seeing everything. But anyway, George Clooney's character creates this special chair, and it's a really interesting chair. Pretty much what this chair does is that a woman sits in it, and all she does is... Man, I know so many women that would love to have that chair. But anyway, Burn After Reading is actually a pretty good film. It leaves you with a completely different ending than what you expect. It's funny. And even though some people might not like the ending, it's still pretty good. I really enjoyed the film. And, you know, overall, it's like I said, it's a pretty decent film. I give this movie an 8.5 out of 10. It's a really fun movie. Even though it does disguise itself as a spy thriller, it's pretty much a comedy. You'll like it. If it's still in theaters, check it out. My next review is of the new Spaceballs animated series that's currently airing right now on G4. Now, so far, only 4 episodes of this series has been, you know, aired on G4. And so far, it's not bad. I mean, it's not great, and it's not horrible, but it's okay. It's pretty much, I don't know exactly if this takes place between Spaceballs or after the Spaceballs movie. So, pretty much what this is that it's each episode is a giant parody on either a movie or sort of pop culture reference. Like one of the first episodes is called Revenge of the Sithy? Something like that? Yeah. Revenge of the Sithy. And pretty much acts as a giant parody of, you know, the prequels to the Star Wars series, you know, episodes 1, 2, and 3. And it's about how Dark Helmet came to be. You know, pretty much like what the Star Wars the episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars was. That is an okay episode, even though I wish they could, tone down a little bit on the bra jokes and the sex jokes and all that stuff. So, but it's an alright episode. The next episode is called Lord of the Onion Rings, and it's pretty much a giant Lord of the Rings parody of going from, you know, Fellowship of the Ring all the way up to Return of the King. And it's an enjoyable episode. It, you know, there was a good few parodies in it, and, you know, it was alright. It was a good episode. The next episode I watched is Watch Jurassic Park. This is obviously a parody of the Jurassic Park film, but it also acts as a parody towards, you know, sports athletes with, you know, using steroids. And it's about, how can I explain this? It's pretty much about, President Scrooge buys this, this baseball team that every player is obviously juiced up on roids. That's, you know, actually it's a chemical combining roids and dinosaur DNA for some reason. And then Barf, Lone Star, Vespa, and even Dot are forced to go to this Jurassic Park-like place, take a tour of it, and see all these athletes, you know, looking like dinosaurs and all this stuff. And it's an okay, that's also a very okay episode. There's a few funny jokes in it, and it's alright. But pretty much so far, the best episode, to me, was Grand Theft Starship, and that's obviously parodying Grand Theft Auto along with other video games, and this one I actually found pretty funny. There was a lot of jokes, and there was a lot of video game jokes, but some people that are not too much into video games may not get some of these, but no, remember the demographic is video gamers that actually watch D4, but, you know, it was a good episode. I actually enjoyed watching that one. Well, so far, with these four episodes, the series is not bad. I mean, Mel Brooks is in it, and I think that's pretty much all you need. You just need Mel Brooks playing Yogurt and President Scrooge, or Scroob, you know, either or. Either you want to call him Scrooge or Scroob, I can't really tell right now, but, you know, just him being, you know, executive producer and part of the show, that I think that's all what it really needs. And so far, like I said, it's not a bad show. It just needs some more time to mature, and, you know, hopefully it might be picked up for a second season. But no, I'm only judging this so far on four episodes. I have no other information on when new episodes are going to air. My best bet is just go to your local listings or go to g4tv.com and, you know, just search for the listings there. But so far, I would give this series a 7, like a 6.5. I mean, it's not bad and it's not good. It's all right. Anyway, my next review is of the Nightmare Before Christmas 2-disc collector's edition DVD. Now, I know some of you may have watched The Nightmare Before Christmas before, and, you know, a lot of you like me actually like this movie. But for those who don't know what Nightmare Before Christmas is about, it's pretty much about this character named Jack Skellington, who's pretty much the king of Halloween, but apparently he's actually getting bored of doing the same routine of scaring people year after year. So he actually stumbles upon this town called Christmastown, and from the movie, he's actually trying to create his own Christmas that's kind of like a combination of, you know, obviously Christmas and Halloween. And with that, everything goes wrong, and it's up to Jack to fix it all. That's pretty much the gist of the whole film. It's not too long. It's only about, like, you know, an hour, 10 minutes long. But still, it's a really amazing film that uses stop-motion animation as well as computer animation, and has a great story, and it's just really fun to watch, and it's also a good musical, too. But the one thing that really makes this collector's edition worth it, is the bonus features. This DVD actually has a lot of bonus features. In fact, it surpasses the original DVD release. First, one of the main bonus features is called What's This? And it's a tour of Haunted Mansion Holiday at Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California. Pretty much what Haunted Mansion Holiday is pretty much during the Halloween and Christmas seasons, the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland is not completely, it just has this holiday overlay that resembles both Halloween and Christmas, and has all the characters from the classic film The Nightmare Before Christmas. And what's really cool about this is that you can watch it in three ways. You can watch it normally without commentary or pop-ups. You can watch it with pop-ups that give you interesting facts about the mansion and also the overlay. And you can also watch it with commentary from the Imagineers that actually worked on the attraction and how they do everything. It's a pretty interesting feature, and it's a good way to get my Disneyland fix, you know, outside of Disneyland, of course. Another interesting bonus feature on this DVD is the uncut version of Tim Burton's short film, Frankenweenie. This is a 30-minute short film created by, of course, Tim Burton. It's about this boy who loved his dog, and then all of a sudden this dog becomes part of a car accident. And the boy discovered that he can bring his dog back to life by using electricity. And then from that point on, the movie is pretty much kind of like, like the original Frankenstein film. And it's really fun to watch. And the reason why this is in here is because Tim Burton is actually working on another stop-motion animated film called Frankenweenie. It's going to be a little bit longer. And, you know, the reason why this is in here is just to help promote it. And Also, it's a really fun short film. It's really enjoyable, as it has a good ending to it, and I like it. It's not bad. Another cool bonus feature is Vincent. This is another short film by Tim Burton, and it's about this little boy named Vincent who doesn't want to be a normal boy. He wants to be the legendary Vincent Price. How cool would that be, being the legendary Vincent Price? And it's narrated by Vincent Price. It's in stop motion animation. It's dark. It's a little spooky at sometimes, but overall, it's just awesome. I really enjoy watching that. There's also the original poem, Tim Burton's original Nightmare Before Christmas poem, narrated by Christopher Lee. There's also a commentary by Tim Burton, director Harry Selick, and music designer Danny Elfman, which is also pretty interesting. There's also a behind-the-scenes documentary on how this movie was made. There's also a section of the DVD where you get to look inside, like the characters and the sets, a little more detail, like their personalities, how they were created, and all sorts of other cool stuff. There was also deleted scenes, storyboard to film comparison, and also the original theatrical trailers and posters. Overall, this is actually a pretty awesome DVD. If either A, you didn't see this in theaters, B, you missed it the first time on DVD, or C, you just don't like how they first released this on DVD, I highly recommend you get this. I mean, there's no other features I can think about putting in here. It's also on Blu-ray. It has a really nice picture to it. Overall, this is, but the only downside is I wish, they could have taken the Haunted Mansion Holiday Tour a little bit slower so that way you can get a little more feeling for it. But still, overall, this is a great DVD. Overall, I'm gonna give this DVD a 9.5 out of 10. I mean, I don't think they could really add any more, but some of these features could have been a little bit better. But overall, this is actually a pretty sweet DVD. I highly recommend it if you're a Nightmare Before Christmas fan or you're a Disney fan like myself. Another interesting thing about this DVD is that it also comes with a third disc called Disney File Digital Copy, which is pretty much you take the disc, you insert it into your computer, and you can download it for free legally for your iTunes or Windows Media Player. You can only use it once though, but it's really awesome that a lot of movie companies are actually doing this, where you can actually have your own digital copy of the movie. So if you want to watch it on the road, if you misplace the DVD or something, but it's really awesome to have. I currently have it on my iPod Touch, and I just thought it's really awesome to add on to the film. So good job Disney for adding that to the and that to the DVD. But like I said, I highly recommend this. Either get it on DVD, or if you have a Blu-ray player, get it on Blu-ray. So, and if you can find it, I don't highly recommend this because it's a bit pricey. The limited edition bust that comes with the DVD, that's like about $160 or something like that. But I just say stick with the DVD because the bust is big and it's just a giant collector's item. But still, get it. Get it now. It's really good. But before you go on and get it, there's just one more thing I have to do. And that is pay my final respects to the Adventurers Club. I talked about this so many times before, and I'm just really upset to see it go. There's a lot of great people that, been in there for over 20 years. Kirk being one of them. He's one of the he's one of the doormen, and it's just really upset to see this place go. And I just and also actually before I started recording this, I actually watched a few clips that people made of the Adventurers Club. And while I was watching them, I did laugh, but at the same time, I pretty much almost cried because I made so many memories in that place. And some people asked me, what were some of your favorite moments of the place? And it's not just the hooplas, the Kungaloosh, the cabarets and the dances and the songs and everything and the mask room and the treasure room. It's the feeling that I get when I enter and when I leave as the motto goes, you enter in the Adventures Club as a stranger, but you leave as a friend. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the characters. And I was really happy during my last trip that I spent my last moments of the Adventures Club with good people. Really good people. My friends. My friends, you know, from, you know, all over. And, you know, it's just those memories I'll never replace. So, there's just, oh my God, I can't do it. I can't stand letting this place go. No matter how many petitions, you know, we signed, or no matter what happened, you know, I just have to learn to accept it. As the song goes, walk like a man. I just gotta learn to accept it. But that's all. But, you know, you know, that's all I gotta say. All I had to do is just accept it. But I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the times I had in that place. Not in a million years. And I'll still remember it to this day. Till I die, I'm 60, 70, 80. I'll never forget the place. So, here's what I want you all to do. I want you to take your right hand, place it on your belly, just right above the belly button, and do this. Wiggle your hand around like a fish. Pretend you're taking a shot. Raise your hand up and shout, Kungaloosh. Let's do that. Hand on your belly button. Wiggle. Shot. Raise your hand. Kungaloosh. You know what that means? It's the universal greeting of the Adventures Club. It means hello. It means goodbye. It means all sorts of things. It's the official Adventures Club greeting. And I'm going to be doing that a lot for now. I'm going to be doing that a lot. Some people might call me crazy for doing it, but I'm going to do it. I'll never forget you, Adventures Club. Kungaloosh. And to Pleasure Island itself, you will never be replaced. Ever. Kungaloosh to you too. And I think I'm going to end the show right here. If you want to listen to past episodes, including my 2-hour trip report, just go to swabp.blogspot.com. Email me at silverwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And the music from this show is from the Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And usually I end this show with my traditional ending theme, but I think this should be the ending theme song for this episode. Now, what I want you to do now is go to the blog at swabp.blogspot.com. Are you there yet? Well, if you're not there yet, I have the lyrics for this song right here above my head. And, well, we're about to sing the good old all-purpose Adventures Club theme song. Ready? Dum da 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 dum da 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 dum 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 dum. Drop your drawers, drop. What? Wait, that's not it. Hang on, let me look at the Colonel's book. Sorry, wrong song. Let me get to the table of contents here. Let's see. A song by about a girl named, about a boy named Enos, a girl named Angina, a guy from Nantucket. Here it is, page 1989, the all-purpose Adventurers Club theme song. Here we go! Dum da 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 dum da 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 dum 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 dum. A marching along, we're adventurers, singing the song of adventurers. Up or down, north, south, east, or west, an adventurer's life is best. Now sing it. A marching along, we're adventurers, singing the song of adventurers. Up or down, north, south, east, or west, an adventurer's life is best. Big finish, an adventurer's life is best. Kungaloosh Pleasure Island, Kungaloosh Adventurers Club, and Kungaloosh to you all. I'll see you next time. Rock on!